The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
Okay, you're very welcome back to the programme, and it is a busy hour. We want you to hop on to and watch the show if you can. Obviously, lots of you at work where you can't, or you're driving or whatever it might be. But if it does suit you, go on to our Facebook or YouTube channels. And coming up very shortly, we're going to be announcing our the recipient of the beautiful car that we have put together with iMotors for one person, a community hero. And that was done over the weekend, and we've got the video of it and the audio. So if you're in the radio world, you'll get to hear it all. But also, if you want to hop on and watch, you can do so. And then a little later on, 11:30, we have live music, our first finalist in studio for our music competition, the local music hero competition, it's called. We have four acts, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then the lines open and you will help decide who will go on then to represent this part of the world in a national competition. And I think we have a really good chance. All four acts, I think, are superb. Today's, no doubt, is also absolutely superb. Well, that'll all be revealed, so stay right where you are. Right. Okay, we'll take the bingo numbers now because that clears the decks to some extent for us. Sean will be joining us. We'll be going through the events of the weekend. It's good. It's really nice. So I want you to listen and watch that if you can. Back in a moment. Okay, you're welcome back to studio. And in with me now is Sean Quinn, our head of sales. Hi, Sean.
Good morning, Greg.
Good to have you in. Good to have a lovely, nice little bit of positivity again, because we recently put a big call out to ask our listeners to nominate a community hero, and we had an amazing response. And as we've said before, but worthwhile saying again, in trying to choose a winner, we were overwhelmed because there were so many brilliant people and their fellow members of the community saw fit to say, look, these people need recognition. So as I say, the whole process I thought was really heartwarming and enlightening.
Big time, Greg. It was to say it was difficult is an understatement, because there were so many nominations that hit us. And I know that we spent number of hours actually looking, reading, and we took actually some of the entries away to digest, because it was so difficult to see. Everybody deserved it. Every single nomination that came into us deserved to be the winner. But we were tasked with picking one, and we eventually got there. And in fairness, we became unanimous the more you read into what this person had done for the community. And I now know, having met this person, it absolutely was the right decision.
Okay, I feel like we're warming up for stars in their eyes, and then he's going to walk out and say, today I'm...
That's a little bit like Saturday now, to be fair.
Okay, well, listen, we're going to get to that because we have a brilliant video and a bit of audio for all of you out there in Radio Land, of course, but if you're watching on our social medias as well. Karen, you nominated Roddy Smith. Tell us why.
Hi, Greg. How are you?
Good.
I nominated Roddy. We approached Roddy last April. They set up a community first responder group in Newton, well, just as a possibility. And straight away, Roddy agreed. Now, I can't put into words the amount of work that Roddy has put into our group. Our first meeting of interest was in April, and the group was live in December. So in order to get live, we had to have everybody guard vetted. We had to have everybody trained to high standard of CPR. And Roddy carried out all that training at least once a week to get everybody trained. He's the most humble man that you ever met. He is constantly praising us as responders and always giving us feedback. And as a group, we just felt like this would be a nice opportunity for us to show our appreciation and just to, you know, tell him, you know, how much we appreciate what he does for the group.
And what he's doing, it's a ripple effect, isn't it? It's like he is the stone thrown into the middle of the egg. And it's the ripples, isn't it? It's the people that are helped immediately, but then the people that use can go on and help and so on and so forth. It's it's hard to sort of fully quantify the extent of the positive impact he's having.
100%. Like, unfortunately, there are people that we will be directly, you know, responding to in life-threatening situations. But Roddy wasn't just happy with that. He put a few of us forward then for instructor training, because he wants as many people in the local community to be able to provide good CPR. While they may not want to be responders, he wants to be confident that, you know, a lot of people in the village and the surrounding areas can perform that CPR until somebody who is more trained can get to help. And we're offering that training free. Again, he's providing a lot of the training to the instructors. And to date, you know, we have about interest and groups that want to avail of this training, and we've about 30 people through the training so far.
All right, brilliant, brilliant stuff. Thanks so much, Karen, for heeding the call, answering the call, and I'm delighted. We're delighted. You're delighted that Roddy is the winner.
Oh, we're just over the moon. We were nervous. I'll not lie. We were nervous of what his reaction would be, because he's really one of these guys that flies under the radar, and he is so humble, but he really does deserve it. And I just want to say, as I mentioned to his wife, Tracy, because the fact that Roddy's out so much, you know, he's given up a lot of his time, but she sacrificed a lot of her family time as well for the group. So just want to mention that as well.
All right, listen, fair play, Karen. It's a lovely story. Thanks so much indeed. So, Sean, we're going to talk about what happened at the weekend now. We're going to have a chat with Roddy in a bit as well. Seamus from iMotors has joined us as well. Talk to us about how, without any spoilers, okay?
So we had
to defer this a little bit, didn't we? Because Roddy's so busy.
Yeah, he's in the middle of a course down the country. So we'd made the call, we'd made the decision first and foremost, and we made the call then, but he wasn't available. So we had to delay it, but we also had to, we wanted to have that little element of surprise. Well, it was a surprise. It was as much a surprise for me as it was for him, because he had no idea on Saturday morning when we rolled up to the house. And I knocked the door and he landed, and I said, good morning.
Right, well, should we listen to it?
Yeah.
All right, we'll listen
to
it.
You won't get this first piece.
Okay, go ahead.
But it's just, he had absolutely no idea. And I had to explain why I was standing on his doorstep on a Saturday morning. But it gets better from there. So, okay. Yeah.
So I nominated Roddy on behalf of the whole first responder group. When Roddy was approached to set up this group in April, I think it took about 2 days to think about it before he had organised a meeting to gauge a level of interest in the community to see if we could gather up a team of volunteers. So that first meeting, as I say, was held in April, and we got 16 volunteers came forward, and that's how the group was formed. By December, we were live as a group. So just through that time, Roddy has done training with us weekly, at the very least bi-weekly. He's given up a huge amount of time between going and collecting equipment for us to train, to actually, you know, completing the training with us, to setting up scenarios. So we just wanted to nominate him to say we really appreciate all the work and the time and the effort that he has put into the group, and that we couldn't do it without him.
I'm joined by Roddy Smith. Roddy, congratulations on being shortlisted for this year's Highland Radio Community Hero Award. How does it feel to be shortlisted?
Very taken aback. Did not expect this at all.
We kind of surprised you this morning now, in fairness.
Very much so. Yeah.
But that's always the best way. So tell us more about your involvement with the Newton Cunningham First Response Group.
Back last April, the community focus group approached me and asked me to come down, just give them a wee talk on how to set up a group in Newton Cunningham, if it was feasible. With my background from the working in the ambulance service in Letterkenny, I thought I'll go down and we'll chat it out. For the past maybe 6 years, I've been off-duty responder within the community, it's through the ambulance service. They would contact me when I'm off duty, and I would respond to my neighbours and within a 10-kilometre radius of my house here, there was 16 people put their names forward for actually responding. And you have to get across to them about the magnitude of the thing they're taking on. You're going into a house, your neighbour's house, you know them, you know, and dealing with them at the worst possible time of their lives,
yeah,
possible.
Yeah. So what was the next part of that process? So you had the 16 people in the room,
yeah,
and then obviously there is a training element that you have,
yes,
to get to a certain level,
yeah,
before you can go and even go to a call.
It took a lot of kind of preparation. You know, I put my heart and soul into the community first responder group. So it took a wee bit of organisation to get the training started. And, you know, the response I got from the volunteers was amazing. The commitment they gave me and gave their community. But in that time as well, I was looking at, you know, right, so I now have volunteers, but what else do we need? We need defibs, we need equipment, we need high-vis vests, we need to be... With the committee, we started fundraising, and the response from the community was amazing.
Am I right in saying now we're nearly a year on from that first meeting?
Yeah, we're coming on.
Am I right in saying you've got about 16 defibs now?
We have about,
wow,
that. Yeah,
wow.
We have them dotted. We have, you know, the new heated boxes on buildings within the community. We're looking after Carrigan's. We put a new box over there for their defib, and we're looking after that. And Calais as well, we're looking after theirs.
So it's unquestionable that the journey that you guys have been on in the last almost 12 months has just been amazing. What is the future? What do you see?
What's
can you evolve this? Can,
yeah,
you? What's your?
Yeah, that's what I was. I'm like Billy Connolly. I'll go off on a different story and try and come back.
That's a good thing.
You know, so the community engagement officer came to me and he goes, "Roddy, great. We're getting great feedback. Your group's responding to so many calls." And he goes, "They're well looked after and well supervised." And he says, "Roddy, you maybe take them up to CFRA level, you know."
And could this potentially, would this be something that you could see yourself going to other communities and helping and supporting,
well, yes,
in what you've done here?
I have been asked to go and speak to other communities,
yeah,
within the area.
But would it be fair to say that you're a doer, and when you do things, it happens?
Yeah.
And what would it mean, if I asked you a question now, if you were to win the car, what would it mean to you?
It'd be amazing. Yeah, it would be amazing. It would... It would probably be used to respond to calls.
Right.
Possibly.
It would help in,
you know,
the community as well.
It would definitely help in the community, because even if...
I want to turn around here and just say congratulations, because we're here not to shortlist you today. You're actually the winner of Highland Radio's Community Hero. And I couldn't think of a better person to win it. Thanks to iMotors, this year you'll be supplied with a beautiful Qashqai. You'll see behind us is all your responders who nominated you. And it's a privilege to have spent the last 10 minutes with you.
Roddy.
And this is Seamus from iMotors to hand you the keys.
Thanks very much. Cheers.
Well done. Yeah, well done. Can we give him a hug?
You can.
Well done.
Thank you.
There you have it. So I was lost in that there for a second and nearly never pulled out. Out of it, something else. What a winner. Seamus, I'll bring you in now. You've been sitting there patiently. Stroke didn't come till late.
Yeah.
What a thing to be a part of that. I don't
great
think
guy.
Even when you guys were putting this together, if the truth be told, that you thought it would play out like this, and then you've seen those scenes yesterday. I mean, it truly is a special thing to be involved in, I think.
Yeah, there's a sort of under-the-radar guy we're looking for, and he has, you know, I'm living in Newton for nearly 20 years. I don't know the guy, you know. And he's living in the same town as me, but truly, truly deserves it. Like, the amount of work he does there, you know, unbelievable. And we've been trying to even to get him organised to do the video with the weekend or
he can't collect the car for 2 weeks because he's that busy, like, you know. So it's,
did you tell him he's allowed to do 50 miles a week yet? No,
no, we didn't. We'll have to write up.
I hope he stuffs it. Yeah, I really do.
Small he's print. In Galway. He's in Galway all week, and I'm thinking he's in Galway this week. And then right. But he's a real, real hard worker. Yeah. You know, really.
And by the sounds of things, he's already got plans and progress. Things are progressing, but it sounds like this is actually even going to be something kick everything I even a bit further, Sean.
Oh, it is. Yeah, and it's like I asked him the question about, you know, what's the future plans? He has a plan, and he wants to help other communities to, I suppose, to emulate what he's started in his own hometown.
Right. Let's say hello. Roddy, how are you?
I'm great, Greg. Thanks very much.
Thanks for that, and thanks for being a good sport there. We were all sitting watching the video as it played out here, you seem such a lovely fella. Couldn't have gone to a nicer person by the looks of things, and we're so delighted that it means something to you, that it means as much to you as it does to us.
It really does. When I say I was taken aback by it, Saturday morning, I had absolutely no idea. I had so much on it Saturday.
Sorry.
I annoyed him.
No, you didn't annoy me at all. And because I had that, and Sean was at the door, and I honestly, I looked at him and I thought, what is going on here, you know? I can't get over the faith that the group have put in me. I can't achieve what I want to achieve without the group with me. I do have a plan. I've had a plan for years and years and never thought it would be achievable. And it's always to get the first two links in the chain of survival going. You know, and see, good CPR to start with. You know, just from my background, being in the ambulance service and when we respond to calls, we know how, if there's no CPR ongoing prior to our arrival, that the outcome's not going to be great.
Mm.
So I always thought, you know, if everyone knew how to do CPR or had the confidence to do good CPR and then get defibs there quicker, you know, how can we achieve that? So I looked at, you know, once the focus group approached me, this plan, this light started to go off, you know. And then the responders, the volunteers that arrived that night at the meeting, I didn't want to scare them off, but I also wanted them to realise the magnitude of the situation or the situations that they would be put into. You know, it's ordinary people doing extraordinary things. Mm-hmm. And in the ambulance service, that's what we always do. We're just ordinary people. We're highly trained. But we do extraordinary. We're put in extraordinary situations. Mm. So the amazing 16 volunteers that I have, including my own son and daughter, they put the work in. They committed themselves to the cause, really, and this idea of, you know, I was trying to sell them this idea, which wasn't difficult to sell them. They all took on everything that all the training to achieve this. So my idea was that, you know, we get defibs to the houses quicker. Mm. You know, but ideally, you know,
there's a chain of events there, isn't there? It's the CPR initially, yeah, because that does the work at the heart. Then you want the defib, yeah, and then you want you to arrive and your colleagues to arrive in the ambulance. That's the chain, really. Exactly. We want to
exactly. So to get this whole chain into situation, I had to train the volunteers, obviously, get the defibs into the community and get them easily accessible, and get as many defibs as we can. You know, and our responders carry defibs as well. And the public access ones that we have available. So then I had the opportunity to get four of the volunteers up for instructor, mm, you know, and then this is the ball really, this is a snowball really going. We were lucky enough, the four of them got up and trained as instructors, and we got them through the course, and then we started teaching the local community the Heart Saver course, and we've 30 through it already. You know, Newton's a big enough wee village, you know, to get them all through will take time. But if at least one person in every household within Newton Cunningham has good CPR, that's the first link.
And Leah is your daughter, is she?
She is, yeah.
An ongoing commentary on Facebook here to your comments. First one, no better man for it, Heart. My dad's simply the best. Then she updated us, Roddy. Classic dad, never takes the credit for himself. Good woman, Leah. Thanks very much for that. That's the wonders of modern technology. Of you on one phone line and of Leah on Facebook watching you here. Come here, listen. We'll get you in another time, actually, for a separate item on the show, because it's only last week we had Harry Walsh in, and it was Deep Food Day last week, and, you know, talking to people who would not be alive and well if it wasn't for the quick reactions, and people can't do that unless there's people like you in the community training them and all that. So listen, Roddy, we know you're really busy. We appreciate you being a good sport and taking the time out to talk to us, and happy motoring.
Yeah, the car will be used. Of course, Seamus will see it flying past him and Newton now and again. Hopefully, he doesn't cringe too much when I'm driving that about.
No, that's it. Calls. We don't want you in anything other than that car. You just keep her lit.
Yeah.
And don't worry about the mileage either. I want you to stuff him with at least 50.
Keep it local. Keep it local.
All right, Roddy, take care of yourself. God bless. Well done.
Take care.
All right,
see
you, Roddy. Bye. Good man, Roddy.
Bye. You're just that type of a character, you know. It's like wrestling. You'd be a heel. I think they'd call you a heel. You know, the bad guy. And I'm only messing, though. Yeah. Because right from the get-go, the concept of this, and we talked to you, Seamus, about it before, about your company being a community company, and, you know, just seeing this as a way of building, strengthening those ties, recognising that. I don't know, what was the vision there?
Yeah. It was Michael's idea, you know, the community hero thing, and it's gone, you know, it's way, way bigger. It's grown bigger than we thought. And so I couldn't have went to a better, hard-working person, you know. So,
I just want to reiterate, Michael spoke to me last year about it, and, you know, it's great to have iMotors on board. It's an incredible prize to be given to somebody within the community. And it has gone from strength to strength. There's no two ways about it. And the reaction we saw on Saturday was priceless. Deserving. But also from his first responders, their reaction as well was brilliant. They were just so delighted that his daughter says he never takes the claim for anything. And, you know, that's the type of person we were looking for. We found them. But we couldn't have done it without iMotors, because the prize is the prize. It's you know, and to have a Qashqai, a brand new Nissan Qashqai for a year.
If we can get him time now to get organised, to get the car and get him up to it, like, you know.
No bother. Yeah. And fair play for you, Sean, to go out and do that. Very impressive interviewing skills, and I mean that seriously.
Watch out, Greg.
And was it Anya as well who did the camera work?
Yeah, just to say thank you to Anya, and
we'll
also
Corinne as well. And we'll get that up on our socials later for anyone who missed it as well, because it's a lovely thing, and his reaction, it really punches you in the feels. It's real. All right, anything else you just want to add before we wrap it up?
No, it went very, very well. So,
okay. Yeah. All right, well done, Seamus. Thanks for coming down again. And who's to say what might happen in the future along these lines?
Watch this space.
Watch this space is the way we always like to approach things. And finally, thanks to Roddy. Thanks to Karen and all the crew who thought so much for him to nominate him. And thanks to everybody who nominated somebody. There's some amazing people that were nominated, some that people might know, some that they won't, some that may not have accepted it, whatever, it doesn't matter, you know what I mean? But a lot of the people you'd expect to be nominated were nominated, and there was unsung heroes, and it was just an amazing bunch and group of people, and we're so lucky here in the Northwest. We really, really are.
We'd love to be able to read them all out and shout all the names out, but obviously we can't. But it was just incredible.
Superb, wasn't it? Yeah. All right, listen, thanks very much. Thanks, Greg. Really appreciate it. Take care. That's Sean Quinn, Head of Sales at Highland Radio, and Seamus McLaughlin, owner of iMotors. Back with more shortly. We know we are in the middle of Irish Music Month. And as part of that, it's a collaboration of a number of independent radio stations, all of them effectively, really. We are promoting and pushing Irish music. We play lots of Irish music here, and we're looking for everyone all around the country to do more to support Irish artists. And we are running a competition to select four artists, which we have now. They are Charles James and the Rise, Oisín Ní, Boy M5 and the Midnight Preachers. They are going to perform from us all this week. And then we're going to select a winner between Thursday, Friday, Saturday and Sunday between you and judges. And then they're going to go on to compete in a national competition with other artists selected by other radio stations. So let us say good morning now to, fingers crossed, Charles James and the Rise. James, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg.
It's great to have you with us. How are you keeping?
Good, great.
It's great to have you in. Get a wee bit of feedback there, but we'll work through that. Charles James and the Rise, talk to us about this band and its membership.
So today, yeah, myself on guitar, Catherine, my wife, on piano and vocals, and we're joined by Laura McFadden on cello. Laura did the session work for us and has agreed to come and join us today to perform the songs as we created them.
All right, and talk to me about this track. Well, we're going to get two tracks from you, but talk to me about the track "Elephants" because it sticks in your head. It's a real earworm, isn't it? It's beautiful. Talk to us about the making of that track.
Yeah, that wrote that back in October. So it come about after like a long period of kind of after the loss of my father in 2020. It's kind of a sudden loss, and then the grieving process after that, and I was kind of trying to put that into express it through the song. I'd written a few different songs and it just never hit properly, and then when I was starting to play this one, I realised I was kind of expressing everything I wanted, as well as kind of saying there's light at the end of the tunnel for anyone going through something like that.
Beautiful. So it was part of a process for you as well too?
It was, yeah. Absolutely. And it was just, you know, it was over 2 years later before I was able to kind of fully come to terms with it.
And Elephants is being released this month, isn't it?
It is, 24th of March. It'll be everywhere that you consume your music, iTunes, Spotify, and then we'll be following that up with a wee video shortly afterwards.
And your outside of the music world career is fascinating. It's fascinating itself. I think the last time I spoke to you, we talked about maybe we could do a full hour just on what you do and all that kind of stuff. But
that's right,
the way it is, the way work works for you is you do get a bit of space at home, don't you? Because you work away, but you get a bit of space at home just to, you know, work on the creative side of things, spend time with your beautiful family, of course, and all that stuff.
Yeah, no, it's great. The way I'm working now since middle of last year, I work away for a month down in Angola, down in West Africa, and then I come home for a month. And then when I'm off, you know, I'm fully off and have time to focus on the music and time to relax.
Okay, well, the song that we've chosen is Elephants, but we're going to hear another track first, aren't we?
Yeah, you're going to hear the second one. So Elephants is going to be the first single, and then Drinking the Ghosts Away is going to be the second.
Right, so we go Drinking the Ghosts Away first?
Yep.
That's partly your fault. You're the one saying second.
Earlier in the day for that, Greg.
All right, come here. Drinking the Ghosts Away, whenever you're ready, guys.
Okay, okay. 1, 2, 3, 4. Set my sins alight, burnt them in the fire, burning bright as the embers rising. This is my last disguise. And I can seek to obscure your view, cover your eyes in blue. These black wings aren't for you, no, no, because you'd see through the best disguise. Oh, you'd see through the best disguise. Lately I haven't been dreaming, I've been drinking the ghosts away.
Lately I've been dreaming, no, but you can't keep the ghosts away. No, you can't keep the ghosts away. I could confess all the things I've done, each reckless impulsive one, but I cannot change what's been and gone, because I know I'll be right for my wrongs. Oh, I undo my rights from my wrongs. Lately I haven't been dreaming, I've been drinking the ghosts away. Lately I haven't been dreaming, no, but you can't keep the ghosts away.
Lovely stuff. It's a beautiful sound, James, that you have there.
Thanks very much, Greg.
You
thanks, mate.
It really is. And I don't know enough about music to attribute a style to it, but it's just, you know, it's just so calming and melodic and, you know.
Yeah, it's a kind of, I suppose, atmospheric-y folk type of sound is kind of what we've been, it's just the way the sound's developed, really.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't kind of a targeted approach or anything. It's just
you've been at this. You've been at this a long time, yeah. Of course. Do you feel it's evolved during your career in terms of how you make music, how you release it, how you promote it? Do you see it a little bit different now?
I think it's all a learning process. You know, because obviously my career's away at sea. It's not something. I think if you go to uni and study it and all the rest, you get very good at the market and the promotion and understanding of the industry. Whereas for me, it's always been independent. You know, it's kind of learn and make mistakes and then learn from that the next time you go for a release.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of the promotion as well, it's, I suppose it's all just kind of, we're just discussing that, like you're either good at self-promotion or you're not.
Mm.
And I'm not particularly good at self-promotion. So,
but you've got a great self-awareness. It sounds like maybe the next track, how James is not, you know, introspective work.
Yeah, exactly. Better work to do myself.
No, you don't. Listen, you're doing fantastic. And as I say, anyone who knows anything about music across the county would know your work and what you've been doing. And as I say, this is just about hopefully giving one of our amazing artists here who have their own followings and their own catalogues just an extra bit of publicity on a national scale, yeah, really, isn't it? I mean, you've fantastic. Done that. You know, you're this is not new to you, like,
no,
you know.
No, but it's a great opportunity.
Exactly, yeah.
You know,
so
it really is.
Right, okay. So we're going to hear Elephants now. People who have heard the trail and what have you, and as I say, it's a song, and it just goes to show what radio play does, because the more you keep listening to it, and it's just a cracking tune. All right, so this is Charles James and The Rise, and this is the track we'll be opening the voting lines for you on Thursday to vote on, and this is their track, Elephants.
Forgot to take them off the last time. Right. 1, 2, 3, 4. I've been living like a wanna die, broken heart. Battle cry, disregard the alibi, afraid to go to sleep in case I dream. Never thought I'd get so long, let me off the merry-go, round and drown me ever slow, gasp for breath as another day begins.
Black dogs barking louder now. The elephant's got my chest pinned down. Paralyzed by nothing at all. Arise, convinced that I'm bound to fall in this life. These dreams, so much harder than it seems. We've all got our cross to bear, some hidden hurt and deep despair, treading water, gasp for air. It's life's sweet imperfections give you hope. Black dogs barking louder now. The elephant's got my chest pinned down. Paralyzed by nothing at all. Arise, convinced that I'm bound to fall in this life, in these dreams. So much harder than it seems. Dogs barking louder now. The elephant's got my chest pinned down. Paralyzed by nothing at all. Arise, convinced that I'm bound to fall in this life, in these dreams. It's so much harder than it seems. Black dogs barking louder now. The elephant's got my chest pinned down. Paralyzed by nothing at all. Arise, convinced that I'm bound to fall in this life, in these dreams. So much harder than it seems.
All right, hard to believe that was actually live. It sounded so good. That's James Charles and The Rise. That's finalist number one in our Irish Music Month music competition. That is the song we'll be asking you to vote on, and we'll have the audio and the video up later in the week. Charles, James and The Rise, Elephants. Charles, James, wishes absolutely nothing but success. This is a great opportunity to get to chat to you, to get you back in studio in your current format. Cello sounds absolutely amazing as well. Yeah. And regardless of whatever happens, and I think I've said this to you before, I don't know why, you know, we're not trying to harass you to come on because you're in a tour of Germany or Australia or America or something. So continued success. Best of luck with the release of the music and best of luck in the competition.
Thanks a million, Greg. And thanks for everyone for having us.
No, it's our pleasure. It's our pleasure. Thank you so much. That's James, who is James O'Donnell, of course. And Catherine O'Donnell, Laura there on the cello, James is on the guitar there, Catherine playing the piano and backing vocals, as I mentioned, didn't I, Laura on the cello. And they're from Greencastle, they're a duo, play rambling atmospheric folk. I hope you enjoyed that. The first track was Drinking the Ghosts Away, which is a little bit of an exclusive, that's soon to be released music, but the competition entrance is Elephants. And that was from Charles James on the Rise. And the Rise, sorry. And I would not like to be trying to pick a winner. We're going to give you details on Thursday as to how you can help pick the winner tomorrow. Oisín Ní is live in studio with us. On Wednesday, we've got the big sound of Boy M5. Looking forward to hearing their track live. That's going to be really interesting. And another amazing act. Already, these are superb acts, by the way. This is just a case of trying to push them on a bit as well, onto a sort of national, strong international stage. The Midnight Preachers, they're the final performers on Thursday. But as you can see, and as Bill Mullen and Kathleen McCarran and Patrick Kavanagh are already recognising on social media, we have a contender. And we're back with Oisín Ní tomorrow at 10:30, so don't miss it. Okay, right, just before we head towards news at 11 o'clock, we've got time for a few of your comments here. Can someone point me in the right direction, please? Ask this listener, and maybe you can help. My daughter recently returned from an underage disco in tears at what she witnessed. Young boys and girls performing sex acts on each other in full view of everyone in the club. She told me it has now become such a normal that no one is even looking at them anymore. I made several phone calls on the issue. Gardaí say they cannot enter the club unless a report is made. Security told me they have been directed to look away as young people are sexually more active now and it's their freedom to do so. Needless to say, we called management where calls were not returned. Is there anybody out there that will take responsibility to stop this happening? Is this an area Tusla could do something about? Now, this is not going to be popular as to what I'm going to say here. The first port of call's mums and dads here, really. Do you know what I mean? Like rushing to a state agency to sort of go, can you resolve this? I mean, obviously, is that not the sort of a first port of call? I don't know. What do you think out there? What advice have you got for this person? 086 60 25,000. Yes, I mean, if stuff's going on, there has to be a role for the state or the agencies of the state or whatever it might be. But first and foremost, like, I speak to a lot of parents and their children go to these, as mine have in the past as well, by the way. I'm not insulated from this. They would prefer if they weren't on, because then they wouldn't have to sort of say no or argue with their young people or that type of stuff. I think it's just us as parents and guardians have a wee role and a conversation to have in relation to this as well. What do you think? As I say, I'm just throwing scenarios and stuff out there. 086 60 25,000, 086 60 25,000, or call 0749 125,000. But do you have advice in the first instance, I suppose, for this person? As I say, I'm not trying to be controversial. But as I say, you know, maybe we as parents need to sort of combine together and say, what can we do, or what do we need to do, if you get where I'm coming from. As I say, WhatsApps and text to 086 60 25,000.